Shalom, Australia. Four rockets were fired at a light from Sinai on Wednesday night. The Islamic State Sinai province claimed responsibility on Thursday. Their statement said the group attacked Israel in order to teach the Jews and the Crusaders that a proxy war will not avail them of anything. The future will be more calamitous with Allah's permission. The group has been waging a battle against Egyptian forces in recent years. Egypt and Israel have some level of security coordination in the Sinai. Three of the rockets were intercepted by the Iron Dome missile defense system, and the fourth fell in an open area. There were no injuries or damage, and the scheduled jazz festival continued in the city. However, several people were treated for anxiety attacks related to the incident. Five people were lightly wounded when Sadek Nasser Abu Mazen, 18, from Beta al-Foka, a village south of Nablus, stabbed someone, then opened fire at a bus near an outdoor market in Petah Tikva on Thursday evening. One man in his 50s was shot in the leg, while two women, one in her 50s and the other in her 30s, were hit by shrapnel. The Palestinian teenager used a Carlo-style submachine gun, a comparatively cheap improvised firearm prevalent in the West Bank, cobbled together from water pipes and spare parts and notoriously unreliable. The weapon used in the attack had jammed multiple times. Abu Mazen was arrested, still in possession of his gun. Hamas praised the attack as a natural result of Israeli crimes, but did not claim responsibility. On Friday evening, at the Shiloh junction north of Ramallah, officers stopped a Palestinian taxi for a routine inspection. When one of the passengers aroused their suspicions, they searched him and found him to be carrying a handgun and several bullets. Security forces checked the man's identity and found that he was wanted for questioning by the Shin Bet Security Services. The man was arrested. On Monday night, the Knesset passed controversial regulations bill in its final reading, 60-52. The law, which is likely to be overturned by the High Court of Justice, would retroactively legalize Israeli West Bank outposts built on private Palestinian land. Ambassador Lars Fager Anders, the European Union's top envoy to Israel, on Wednesday did not rule out punitive measures against Israel in wake of the law. He said, "We put out a statement now and then we'll have to see what other measurements we might follow up with." U.S. President Donald Trump responded on Friday, saying, "Settlements don't help the peace process." He added, "Every time you take land for settlement, there is less land left. But we are looking at that, and we're looking at some other options. We'll see. But no, I'm not somebody that believes that going forward with these settlements is a good thing for peace." Trump said he looked forward to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's February 15th visit to Washington. He said, "We've always had good chemistry, and he's a good man. He wants to do the right thing for Israel. He would like peace. I believe he wants peace and wants to have it badly. I've always liked him." President Trump is expected to personally brief Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas following next week's meeting with Netanyahu. Palestinian Intelligence Chief Majid Farage held talks with U.S. security officials in Washington last week, the first such contacts between the Palestinians and the Trump administration. Farage said he had received encouraging messages from U.S. officials, including indications that Trump was seriously considering not moving the American embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, counter to his previous indications that he intended to do so. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told investigators in one of the two graft investigations against him that he didn't know about bottles of champagne given to his wife, Sara, by Hollywood movie producer Amon Milton. He also said that he paid for his expensive cigar habit with cash he received from family members. The investigations are expected to continue for another 3 weeks. Police used water cannons on Thursday as they attempted to prevent hundreds of ultra-Orthodox protesters from blocking main roads during rush hour in a series of demonstrations over the police detention of a Haredi man arrested for failing to appear at a draft office. At least 33 protesters were arrested. A small section of the ultra-Orthodox community held nightly protests the entire week. The protest was stepped up on Thursday after police extended the arrest of the 24-year-old draft dodger for an additional 10 days. The demonstrators blocked major thoroughfares across the country. They brought traffic to a near standstill on Route 1, the main highway between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, after running onto the road and blocking vehicles at the Lutron Junction. A lecture by the controversial left-wing organization Breaking the Silence went ahead as planned in a packed Jerusalem gallery on Wednesday night, as some 100 supporters and a much smaller but no less vocal group of right-wing activists faced off outside. Leading the group of some 30 extreme right-wing activists was Bensi Gottstein, head of the Lehava organization, which works to prevent intermarriage and coexistence between Jews and Arabs. Gottstein is a follower of the late Rabbi Meir Kahane, who advocated expelling the Arabs from Israel and the West Bank. Just hours earlier, Mayor Nir Barakat had announced the Jerusalem municipality's decision to evict the gallery from its municipal-owned premises. Barakat insisted that the eviction order was not political, saying that the move was merely about enforcing local planning regulations. But his decision followed a visit on Tuesday by Culture and Sports Minister Miri Regev, who urged him to cancel the lecture and said she would not lend a hand to publicly funded cultural institutions that gave a platform to lying organizations cut off from reality. Breaking the Silence is an organization that collects testimonies from former Israeli Defense Force soldiers about alleged human rights violations they witnessed in the Palestinian territories during their military service. An Israeli woman who was denied a divorce by a rabbinic court on the grounds of documented domestic violence has appealed to the state's attorney general. The women's lawyers made the unusual appeal on Thursday following the Jerusalem rabbinic court's rejection of her divorce motion. Her husband had been convicted and imprisoned for 75 days for assaulting his wife last year. The husband admitted to the domestic violence before the rabbinical court and expressed regret for his actions. The rabbinic court ascribed the violence to the woman's desire to divorce her husband rather than any inherent will on his part to harm her. Chidush, a civil rights watchdog group critical of the Israeli chief rabbinate, said on Friday that the ruling reminds us of attitudes towards wife beating in Israel's neighboring countries, adding that it was an instance of blaming the victim, which is so repulsive, though common. Israel celebrated Tu Bishvat, the new year for trees, yesterday, and tree planting ceremonies will take place at schools today. The festival is mentioned in the Mishnah, but it was merely a technical date for tithing purposes. In 16th century Svat, mystics began celebrating the festival by ceremonially eating the produce of the land. But it was not until 1908, when the JNF chose it as a tree planting day, that the festival took on its current character. In 1949, the first meeting of the first Knesset of the new state took place on Tu Bishvat. Prime Minister Ben-Gurion led his government in tree planting ceremonies before the opening of the proceedings, cementing the JNF holiday into Israeli and Jewish consciousness. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.